So that's why the tools that I found over all these years help you to get to the result in about 20 minutes. 20 minutes, not 2 years. And the way that you do that is by figuring out, because I can already hear you in my mind going, all right, Tim, well, how do you do that then? Even though you already know. So, you know, you're able to go and start with the feeling and trace it all the way back to the moment when that feeling was first felt, and then the belief that was formed as a result of that feeling. And then we can reframe that belief. We can create a new belief instead. We pull the weed, we plant the flower, we clear the virus from the high working computer, and now all of a sudden that computer can take off. You're like a high performance race car, but you got a parking brake on and you didn't know the parking brake was there. In 20 minutes, I figured out how to release that parking brake so you can just take off and do what you do best. And we can talk more about how you actually do that if you're feeling like that parking brake is on in your life right now.
Welcome. If you've read my weekly articles on DoveBaron.com, on LinkedIn, you know I write about and work with very high achievers. These are people possibly just like you who achieved extraordinary things, but are often left with a set of unanswered inner questions. Questions like, when will I get there? Why does it always seem like whatever it is that I do, there's still that sense that it's not enough, something's missing? Maybe you've wondered, can you get beyond this internal rhetoric that underlies your achievements? Well, we're about to discover where those messages come from and how to pull them up by the roots. Welcome to the Dove Baron Show. Come for the stories, stay for the learning. I'm your host, Dove Baron. I advise high-performing achievers and organizations how to harness their emotional source code to transform their tribe. Today on the Dove Baron Show, our guest is, for the next two episodes, Tim Shaw. He's a best-selling author and one of the stars featured in the new movie, Zero Limits. Tim is an executive coach to top CEOs and a globally recognized expert in subconscious performance, having been featured on major media outlets like ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox News, and of course the TEDx stage. With over three decades of experience and the development of the One Belief Method, which empowers leaders to rapidly eliminate mental blocks, scale without burnout, and lead from a place of clarity and confidence. He is recognized for his rapid transformational approach to changing subconscious beliefs. More on that in a moment. You're tuned into the Dove Baron Show. Each episode is an exploration into the minds of those who are shaping the world. Every episode is a raw, unscripted collaboration between my guests and me as we dive into discovering the truths few dare to reveal. We find guests for you who are often really quite unknown to the general public, but absolute titans in their field. The kinds of people that high-profile leaders turn to when they need that edge. If you're a kind of leader who craves depth over soundbites, hit that subscribe button right now, because this is where real thinkers come to sharpen their edge. For the next two episodes, we'll look at why leadership can be fraught with anxiety and what you can do about it right now to confront it and to remove it. We'll examine something called achiever syndrome, where no matter what it is you do, it never feels quite enough. And why, according to our guests, you and I are just one belief away from being a zero limits leader. Dear listener, please turn up the volume and help me to welcome author of six books, including Get Out of Your Way, The Power of Optimism, and his most recent, One Belief Away, How to Upgrade Your Unconscious Mind for Prosperity and Inner Peace, Tim Shaw. Welcome, Tim.
Thanks, Dove. It's always a pleasure getting to hang out with you.
Thank you, sir. You're very kind. So let's dive into this right up front, because I imagine, again, I'm imagining, it's not the truth. I imagine that there was a lot of leaders who will see this idea of becoming a zero limits leader as a bit kind of woo-woo, maybe a bit personal development hyped. What would you say to that?
Well, it depends on your definition, like anything else, right? It's how you perceive it and the story you tell yourself about it. So if you think that one belief just means that it's just somebody else trying to sell you some marketing program where you just got to change one belief and then everything improves, then I'd be skeptical as well. If you understand that your life is being driven by the unconscious beliefs that you absorbed as a child, often these beliefs are absorbed by external environments, but your mind makes up these beliefs without your consent in most cases, and they end up ruling how we perceive the world. And if you understand that those beliefs are guiding your decisions right now, often at an unconscious level, and you want your life to be more fulfilling, then it would make sense to you to uncover and unpack what that unconscious programming is so that you can improve it and improve your results.
Let's start there, because there's a premise. And the premise is this, that, and by the way, it's not that I disagree with it in any way, shape, or form. I fully agree with it, just to be completely transparent about it. But the premise is that I got these beliefs, these ideas in my childhood, and that somehow, despite the fact that I am very educated, very achieved, very esteemed in the world, those ideas are still running the show when, let's say, for instance, I might have grown up in a family that was extremely poor, and now I'm very, very wealthy and very successful. It seems like those beliefs couldn't possibly have any.
Yes. The difference between unconscious beliefs is like the difference between a mindset and unconscious programming. So everybody talks about your mindset, and the super achievers that I work with, they have the best mindsets in the world. So they're rich, they're successful, often they're famous. They don't have an issue with mindset or self-confidence. They don't get stressed. They get pressured because of if you've got hundreds of millions of dollars on the line or you've got big things that are going on in your life, you're going to feel pressure, right? So it's not a mindset issue. But we do have these beliefs. And the reason that I believe that it all comes back to unconscious beliefs is because that's what I observed. After doing 16,000 individual sessions over 30 years, I would use techniques to help people to follow the source of their insecurity, or maybe they're feeling like they're not going to be good enough all of a sudden. They keep putting themselves in high pressure situations and all of a sudden they start to feel imposter syndrome. Or maybe they're very accomplished, but they still have social anxiety, or they can't speak in front of crowds. A lot of top A-list performers are thrown up behind stage before they come out to perform because of the stage fright. When I would help them try to figure out where the source of that was coming from, they consistently went back to something that happened when they were 7 years old. If you keep seeing it happen over and over, it's just the reality of the situation that most of the things that are driving us, it's like a mental weed. Most people, when they're trying to get rid of weeds, they're just cutting the top off of it, or they're throwing a bunch of junk on top of the weeds. But you got to pull it out at the root. And if you go all the way down to the root system, it's almost 99% of the time something that happened when they were a kid. They picked up some belief, and now it's still messing with them 30 years later, and they can't fix it because they're not aware of it. And that becomes the problem. So if you feel stuck, you feel blocked, you feel like there's something in your way and you can't put your finger on it, that's what's happening.
So I fully agree. I think that things that happen to us in childhood definitely have impacted us. But the challenge, Tim, I think, and I'm sure you deal with it too, because I do, is that's a hard thing for somebody to believe who's really well achieved. Because there's this counterbalance, that there's this inner knowing something's off, but externally in the world, it looks pretty good. In fact, everybody around them is giving them rounds of applause. So what do you think is the biggest mistake, or maybe not a mistake, but misunderstanding that leaders have when it comes to the fact that they have these beliefs, but they're externally achieving in the world?
Well, because we're relying on our intellect, we're relying on our analytical reasoning. And a lot of times when we feel stuck and we can't solve it, it's because it's not an analytical issue. It's an emotional issue. And a lot of high achievers are very guarded emotionally anyway, because we have to be in order to accomplish the things you have to accomplish, or in order to lead as many people as you have to lead, or when you're in high pressure situations all the time, you learn to control your emotions or even shove them down and then deal with them later on. And so when issues come up and you're having a hard time, let's say that you're crushing it on the outside, but you're addicted to cocaine, or you got an eating disorder, or you are overweight and you can't control your weight, and you're worried that you're going to have a heart attack and your spouse's next husband is going to get all your money. Right? If there's an issue that we're dealing with and we can't think our way out of it, well, what's causing it then? And I wanted to go in with an open mind. I didn't know what was really causing this. So we had to go find out. Like I said before, when we take a look at this and we understand that it's something emotional that's driving it, well, what's the root of that? A lot of talk therapy, a lot of personal coaching is about talking through your conscious problems. And that's kind of like cutting the top off of weeds. That's like if your computer downloads a malware virus, and you're trying to talk your computer out of having it. You got to go in there. You got to remove the virus. You got to pull the weed out at the root.
That's a good point, because most people who will hear this, well, this is stuff from your childhood, think, oh shit, now this guy's telling me I got to go lie on somebody's couch for 10 years.
No.
So let's address that.
Yeah.
Let's collapse that idea.
Yeah. Brilliant. I'm really glad you brought that up, Dove, because that's exactly what people think. And then they don't do it because they're like, I ain't got time for that.
Right.
Time is money, man. I'm not going to sit here and pay somebody to talk about my problems. I need a solution. The people that hire me, they're like, I want a result immediately and I want an easy button. Sure. Okay. So I had to figure out, how do you do that?
Right.
Because traditional psychology, you know, I have my degrees in psychology and I was taught traditional cognitive behavioral therapy approaches, but I found that they were too slow and they weren't sustainable. And especially when somebody needs results immediately. Well, if you're a high-end athlete and you got a big game coming up and you're in a slump all of a sudden and it's wrecking your confidence, and you're playing this weekend, you need results now. You don't have 6 months to figure this out. And so that's why the tools that I found over all these years help you to get to the result in about 20 minutes. 20 minutes, not 2 years. And the way that you do that is by figuring out, because I can already hear you in my mind going, all right, Tim, well, how do you do that then? Even though you already know. So, you know, you're able to go and start with the feeling and trace it all the way back to the moment when that feeling was first felt, and then the belief that was formed as a result of that feeling. And then we can reframe that belief. We can create a new belief instead. We pull the weed, we plant the flower, we clear the virus from the high working computer, and now all of a sudden that computer can take off. You're like a high performance race car, but you got a parking brake on and you didn't know the parking brake was there. In 20 minutes, I figured out how to release that parking brake so you can just take off and do what you do best. And we can talk more about how you actually do that if you're feeling like that parking brake is on in your life right now.
So let's go to that, but let's start here because, again, as you know, I work with very high achieving individuals who are CEOs, entrepreneurs, athletes, entertainers, etc. And oftentimes the pushback is, I don't remember my childhood. You know, I don't remember those things. So you're asking me, where does this feeling come from? It comes from the argument I had on Saturday with my wife or on Monday with the board, whatever it might be. And so you're trying to chase it back to my childhood, but I don't remember my childhood, which is a lot of people's excuse. So where do you go with that?
Yeah. So this is great because these are the common objections that people have. I'm not expecting you to trace anything back. I don't care if you don't remember anything about your childhood. And if you don't remember anything about your childhood, you probably repressed it, which means that you probably should unpack your childhood a little bit. So
really?
Yeah. Yeah. It might be a clue, Dove. There might be a red flag there.
Might be.
So let's just take that example of you're having a hard time with your wife, okay? So you're fighting because you're always at work. She feels like your job is your mistress, or maybe she found out you had one, right? There's all kinds of issues going on, challenges that we have just living life in general. And then when you're successful, you take a whole bunch of other pressure that from the outside, people think your life is great, but on the inside, they don't understand the constant pressure you're under, how it can crush you. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. All the people, if you are in charge of a $1 billion company and you've got thousands of employees and you feel like if you make the wrong move, you know, you're going to jeopardize that or you're going to get removed from the board because you're not performing. I mean, there's so much pressure. So then you get into a fight with your spouse, right? And you're thinking that the issue has to do with what's going on right then and there. But what if the issue had to do with something that your wife says that pushes a button inside of you, a button that was formed when you were a kid with the relationship you had with your mom? Now, I know it sounds cliche, but what if your first relationship with another female was your mother? And you could be a male or a female. There's plenty of high-powered female CEOs that I work with, and it's the same issues, the same structure. So all of a sudden, you have this issue where no matter what you did, you were never good enough, or you only got paid attention to you when you were winning. And so now your brain says, I have to win. I have to always be winning or I'm not enough. I met one guy one time. He said that when my dad would get mad at me, sometimes he wouldn't talk to me for 3 months. He would literally pretend that I didn't exist. I'm like 8 years old. We're sitting at the dinner table and he's pretending that I'm not there. You can imagine what that does to a kid. That would freak me out as an adult. And so as a little kid, the kid's not sitting there intellectually rationalizing, saying, hey, my dad must have some real deep issues. He must have been really hurt by his father or the people that raised him. He's trying to show me how to be tough in the real world, but he's damaging me and he doesn't know it, but he doesn't know how to do it any better. So he's going to do what he knows. You're not thinking that when you're 8 years old. You're thinking, my dad thinks I'm so horrible. I shouldn't have even been born. How do I get out of this existential pain that I'm not enough? And I don't even deserve to be here. Hey, check it out. I did all this stuff and I won. And my dad smiled at me or said, good job, or about time, or at least he just paid attention to me. I'm going to do that again. And then psychologically, we have to keep winning. And so now all of a sudden you have a fight with your spouse and it pushes this button that you're not enough. And now all of a sudden it brings up all this other stuff. Now you're suddenly feeling really stressed out. You're starting to lose your mojo. You're starting to feel like almost panicky. And you don't know why, because everything's all right. You're looking around, life is good. It was just a fight. And you could normally put this in a box and deal with it, but now you can't. Something got unleashed inside of you and you don't know what it is. And now if you're, like you said, Dove, telling yourself, well, it ain't from my childhood. What if you're wrong? And so this is an example, or the board pushes a button and there's somebody on that board that just gives you a certain look, or he's always pushing you when he's reminding you of your dad all of a sudden, or he's reminding you of that one boss when you were coming up and no matter what you did, it was never good enough. and now it's pushing that button. And now all of a sudden, you're feeling like the way that you did when you were starting out and that boss was trying to help you out or trying to sabotage you, because people do all kinds of stuff because of the beliefs that they have. And so that's what I found was happening repeatedly.
See, again,
over and
I
over.
I agree with everything you're saying. The challenge is that, as you know, to get to that high level of achievement, these are often people who've become masterful at compartmentalizing. In some ways, that works very well for them because they can compartmentalize the profit line from having to let somebody go. They may be an empathetic leader, but they can go beyond empathy and say, okay, this is a really shitty decision and I really feel bad for these people that have got to make this decision, but I can compartmentalize that because if I don't do this, the board's down my neck and I've got to do something about it. So they've learned to compartmentalize, and that's because they've learned to compartmentalize in their life. And so that assumption, which is put forward of, oh, well, this must be the way my dad looked, that doesn't even correlate for a second. So what I'm asking you here, because I want to be in the seat of the listener who is that high achiever. By the way, I'll tell you, I had one of these. Came in, was recommended to me. I fired him because he was like, I really want your help. And I'm like, terrific. And we started talking and he's like, I had a perfect mom and a perfect dad and I had a perfect friend, perfect brother and we had a perfect relationship and we still have a perfect relationship. And I'm like, okay, well, how you doing? And he's like, well, you know, I have problems with you. And I'm like, do you think there might be something going on? Well, it's nothing to do with them. All right, good. Then we're done.
Yeah, yeah.
So where do you go? Maybe you're better at this than me. Where do you go with that when you hit that wall, whereas it's nothing to do with my childhood? In fact, you are going to only hit a wall if you even mention that there might be something in my childhood. And I should be clear in saying to you, dear listener, that neither Tim nor I are saying you had shitty parents. You might have had shitty parents, but you may have had okay parents who were trying their best but did a shitty job. We're not condemning them. We're just asking you to look. So where do you go when you hit that wall?
So now you're describing 10% of the situation, and it's not about how much of a high performer you are. It's just more about the personality you have. It's not about your success. It's about you as an individual. And I have some clients, I would say maybe 10% of the time, that it isn't because of their past. It's because of some belief conflict they have in the present. And so if that is the case, and usually I find that out because I take them through the same awakening experience I take everybody through, and all of a sudden they're not going to anything. They're not connecting to something in the past. Now, sometimes because it's pushed down, it's compartmentalized, like you said, and so it's going to take a little bit of time for us to develop trust enough for them to let me in, because people in high-level positions are sometimes mistrusting because of experiences that they've had, either in their work life or because of their childhood. But either way, they got a lot of trust issues. And so maybe we got to develop trust. Maybe there's some people that are so controlling, they're not going to go where you want them to go. They just want you to push a button so that they can get on with it because they don't really want to do the work. You can't push a rope. That just means that they need to have more pain and they're going to cause more pain for the people around them until they finally recognize that they're part of the problem and they need to take an honest look at themselves. And some people, their egos aren't as strong as they think they are. Or maybe we could say it the other way, their ego's too big and they're not being humble enough.
Big but fragile.
That's right. That's right. So then there's that other 10%. And that's the 10%. I'm like, all right, well, if it's not their childhood, then what is going on? And usually I find that there's two opposing beliefs going on in their head at the same time. And so they just have a conflict. And so we just got to point out what the two opposing beliefs are, what the positive intentions are of each one of those beliefs. And then we've got to, instead of fighting themselves, because you can't win against your own brain, you got to find a way to come up with a new collaborative solution. As Stephen Covey would say, we got to create synergy in your own brain. And when you do that, now you got one powerful force that's going to allow you to be able to cut through any obstacle again. So it still comes back to beliefs in my experience.
Let's go to that for a moment, because I think it's also a very interesting thing that many people don't understand, that you can have conflicting beliefs. You can hold two beliefs that are in complete contradiction of each other. I have a friend who is very wealthy, very abundant, and is a Scrooge. And it's like, that's contradiction. And he's like, no. And one of the things I've talked about with this, because I come from extreme poverty in my own childhood, and I'll say to a very wealthy person, I'll say, tell me what's easier to spend. And he goes, okay. I said, $300,000 on something you're investing in, or $30 on something else. And he starts to laugh because he knows. And he goes, it's $300,000. It's easier. And I go, of course it is. Because now you're in your abundant mindset. Now you're in your money mindset. You've got those belief systems. they're rock solid. You understand how to work out what to invest in. But $30, that could be a waste. And if it's $30 and it's a waste, you're in a poverty mindset, whereas there might not be any food for tomorrow. So talk to us about that contradiction. That's a really interesting point. So somebody's come to you and they're having these contradictory thoughts that are causing anxiety, causing tension, and causing problems for them. How would somebody directly deal with that if our listeners going, yeah, I think I have these two opposing beliefs?
So I'll share a real life example. And
thank you.
I've been able to talk about this before, so I don't have to worry about confidentiality or anything, which to us is the golden rule. Very confidential. We always protect our clients. But there was a company president, his name was Troy. And when I met him, he had started out in sales. He was very good at it. He was raised on a farm, no BS attitude. His dad didn't show affection. There was no compliments, no hugs, nothing like that. It was this hard work, put your head down and grunt through it. And that's what he did through sales and then up through management until he ended up running this company. And it was a very successful company underneath his leadership. But he brought me in because he said, we want to try something new. I feel like I have a company full of mercenaries. Nobody is getting along. Everybody's competing with each other. It's very sarcastic in the environment. We have more females in our workplace now. And so I'm concerned about language that people use and not being sensitive to others. And so I'm trying to improve this culture and I don't know how to do it. And so he brought me in. And of course, the first thing I did was take a look at the leadership because people will follow the leader. And so I'm looking at him and I'm looking at his office. He's married. He has a family. He loves his wife. He loves his boys. Very good family man. Tried to be more loving and compassionate towards them because he didn't want his boys to have a father kind of like he had, even though he respected his old man. He taught him how to win and be tough in life, but he didn't teach him some of the other rules. And so there was no pictures of the family in there. The door was always closed. And so he had this belief that the way that you win is by being tough, laying down the law, rolling heads, making things happen. Don't be close with your people because if they become friends, they're not going to listen to you anymore. So he was always isolating himself. He would kind of wait until everybody was done talking and then he would tell them what they were going to do. So he wasn't really empowering all these smart people around him. And he was bottlenecking a lot of the results they could have been having because everybody had to go through him. And so he recognized that that was one part of him. And he had a hard time letting that go because that's my mojo. I'm the money man. That's how we built this company. That's why we are the way that we are and who we are today because of these tactics. And now you're telling me to let go of that? That's like taking away my life jacket when I'm in the middle of the ocean. I'm going to drown. That's what it feels like, life or death. When you tell people that you're going to get into their heads, you're like, whoa, wait a second. You can't be messing with my mind. This is my greatest asset. I need it. And so it freaks people out. I always tell them, yeah, but I'm going to pull up in a boat. You can get rid of the life jacket because we're going to pull up in a boat. So the first belief that he had is that you got to be tough in this way. The opposing belief is that he realized, and his wife kept telling him too, that he had to lighten up. He had to trust more people. He had to be more empowering for those around him. And then that would start to build the culture. That would start to build a culture of trust. Maybe you got to get rid of some people, even if they're your top performers, because they're bringing down everybody else. And you've got to start building up other leaders around you. And so in order for him to do that, he had to go heal some of the beliefs that he picked up from childhood with his dad, which caused him to let his guards down, to realize that it's important to give compliments. This guy didn't give compliments. He's like, I don't need them. I don't give them. I'm not your parent. And I'm like, yeah, but there's half the people out there that desperately want a pat on the back from you. A compliment from you would increase their performance by 50%, right? You'll 10X your company revenue and your EBITDA and everything else, your margins, just by giving compliments. And he didn't believe that at first. He was someone who was going to try it out. And then I was exactly right. That's exactly what happened. They almost doubled their revenue for that company over the next couple of years. And so you go into his office now, he has pictures of his wife and his children on his desk. There was a period of time where he removed the door from his office. You know, he had an open door policy. You can come in anytime. If we're having a conversation, you can overhear it because we want to be more transparent. Before it was hide everything. And now we want to be transparent because we want everybody to be on the same page instead of having 1,000 people and everybody's got a different story.
But how did he get from this idea of no pictures, no transparency, pretty cutthroat, to suddenly take the door off, put the pictures up and be warm and fuzzy? That's a big jump. How did he get there?
So we're in a company situation and we're doing private coaching with him and then we're taking his people through the experiences as well. We started with the executive team and then we rolled it out. And what we do is we go through experiences that kind of reparent you, that give you new beliefs and new experiences, new understandings, new viewpoints, expanded self-awareness. So the first thing that I did with Troy was we took him back to that situation where he felt like he learned to be on his own. That's what mistrusting is. You have to be self-reliant. You got to trust yourself because you can't trust anybody else. I wanted to know what was the experience that caused him to feel that way. I won't share what that specific experience was, but he went back to that moment in time where he felt hurt. He felt betrayed. And that's the moment when his brain said, oh, you can't trust people. Then he put this wall up and then you start developing coping skills that make you feel like, all right, well, how am I going to be more self-reliant? How am I going to protect myself so that I'm safe? And so then what we did was we went into that situation and we started giving him resources that if he had those resources at the time, it wouldn't have been so traumatic for him. We go through situations and they're only really traumatic if we feel completely powerless. So for example, he's 9 years old and his dad does something to hurt his feelings. I remember a client one time, their parent never picked him up on time. They'd be sitting there, they'd be 7 years old at the end of a swim lesson and their parent would be like 2 hours late because their parent was too busy working or too busy socializing. And so they would always forget to pick him up. And this kid would be sitting here as a little kid thinking, I'm not even worth being picked up. But now I can't trust that my parent's going to even pick me up. I'm not good enough to be picked up. And so your brain starts coming up with, maybe I should walk home. Maybe I need to expect this. And if the kid at that time had the understanding that this has nothing to do with you, this is because of the limitations of what's going on inside of this adult that's raising you, and that you're amazing and you're loved and you matter and you're more than enough. A lot of reasons why we want the success and the power and the control is so that we can feel safe and we can feel like we're loved. We just have to go through all this. And then once we get it, we have a hard time letting it go. So if we could give them new resources, then they make up a new belief for themselves. In therapy, you're giving them all this stuff. But with my process, we go right to what's going on. And then we ask you, what would you rather believe instead now that you have the new evidence? It's like we had a trial in our brain and we were found guilty, but we didn't have all the evidence. So now we got to go and do a retrial. And then we bring the new evidence in, Dove. Now, all of a sudden, we realize you are innocent all the time and we're going to free you from the mental prison that you've been in all these years. That resolves the conflict. You don't have to argue with yourself anymore. You don't have to force it. You don't have to fake it. A lot of guys just fake it. They're like, yeah, I'll just fake it and do what you think I'm supposed to do, which ends up failing because people can feel it. It's an energetic thing more than anything else. But Troy didn't have to fake it. He felt a shift inside. He felt this sense of love. And then he started bringing that home to his boys because he's like, where have I failed? Because he didn't really hug his boys. He started hugging his kids. He's like this big, tough guy and he's tearing up. And he's like, I hugged my boys for the first time ever.
Yeah,
it was beautiful. And he said, it really broke my heart because when I went to hug them, I felt them tighten up.
Yeah, because they wouldn't know. So Tim, in part two of the show, I want to talk about your one belief method, this one belief away method. I want to talk about that so that people can sort of run themselves through this and get a sense of it. Of course, it's going to be a good idea for them to get the book and, of course, see the movie that you're featured in. But we want to get into giving people some real sort of meat and potatoes. Here's what you can do in part two of the show. So before we do that, we want to make sure that people know how to find out about you and find out about all the resources that you have. Please tell people where they can find out more about you, Tim.
Yeah, if you go to timshurr.com, S-H-U-R-R, there's plenty of resources there and also my information. You can reach out. I love talking to people. So if you need some help right now, then you can reach out. Of course, you've got Dove here as well. So you got both of us supporting you, ready to help you take it to the next level. All you got to do is make your move.
Well, we're going to be back in just one click for part two of our delicious conversation with Tim Shaw. As I said, he is featured in a brand new movie called Zero Limits, and he is the author of a brand new book, One Belief Away. We're going to be back in just one click. Stay curious, my friends. Stay curious.
Imagine you're a business owner relying on a dozen different software programs, each one disconnected, more expensive, and more complicated than the last. It can be incredibly stressful, right? Now, picture Odoo. Odoo brings all the tools your business needs into one simple platform. CRM, accounting, inventory, manufacturing, marketing, HR, and more. All seamlessly connected. Everything works together, giving you the peace of mind that your business is running smoothly from every angle. Odoo's open source applications are user-friendly, and designed to scale with your business, save you time and money. Say goodbye to juggling multiple platforms and hello to efficient, integrated management. Stop wasting resources on complicated systems and make the switch to Odoo today. Visit Odoo.com, O-D-O-O.com, and discover how Odoo can simplify and streamline your business operations. Odoo, modern management made simple.
Welcome back to our delicious conversation with Tim Shaw. He is the author of One Belief Away. It's his most recent book of six. He's also featured in a brand new movie called Zero Limits. And we've talked about in part one how we get in our own way, how to recognize what it is that's getting in our own way, and specifically what we can do to get out of our way. Now, Tim is the creator of a method called the One Belief Method. And he says we're just one belief away from whatever it is we want. So I want to go through that because I want you to really have a sense of what you can do as you listen, as you view this. So Tim, can you walk us through this and even come up with an example of something that somebody might have as a stuck place and breaking through with your methodology?
Sure, absolutely. So let's say that you are stuck. So I have a client named Joe. I always think of my clients as my friends. So a friend named Joe, and he was really struggling with his company. He was actually working for a national company in a sales position, and he just was feeling like he couldn't get anything going anymore. He lost his mojo and he couldn't figure out what was happening with this. And he was feeling really stuck. And I said, what happens when you get into a situation right now? And he says, well, I start to feel like I can't ask for the sale. And I'm like, why? And he's like, well, I'm not sure. And I'm like, well, what would you have to believe in order to hold back? And he says, well, I don't want to come across pushy. And I'm like, why? And he's like, I don't know. You got to ask for the sale. I don't know what's going on. I'm like, well, what if you did know? Just spend a little bit of time, because most super achievers are going so fast that they're not slowing down enough to actually tap into what's going on inside, because we're just go, 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 because that's what makes us feel safe. Momentum. It's not about being happy or sad. It's about momentum and progress. So that means that even if you're sitting on a patch of ice, you're still jamming down on that gas pedal, that accelerator, even though the tires are spinning and you're not going anywhere and burning up a bunch of fuel. That's what we think we have to do, is drive forward. And so I caused him to just kind of breathe and ask himself, what would I have to believe in order to feel the way I'm feeling? And that's what you can do as well right now. So if you're listening to this and you're feeling stuck, you're feeling stressed, pressured, you know, something's going on, what would you have to believe in order to feel the way that you're feeling? He said, well, I don't want to be pushy, because if you're pushy, then you come across aggressive. And I said, what's wrong with being aggressive? He got a look on his face. And I said, oh, what just happened? What just happened inside of you? And so he said, well, it's kind of weird, but I thought of my dad. And I'm like, all right, why? And then he said, well, because my dad was a very aggressive guy and he was very abusive. And when I was a little kid, I made the decision that I was never going to be like my dad. And then all of a sudden, like the light bulbs just went on inside of him. He's like, oh my gosh. He says, I keep holding back because I don't want to come across aggressive, because I don't want to be my dad. And he was like, wow. And all that happened in a couple of minutes. It didn't have to take 10 years. It was just knowing how to ask the right questions and trying to figure out, what are you believing? Because your subconscious beliefs are influencing how you feel and how you behave. And so it makes sense to go to the root of the issue. And so if you push the first domino down, all the other dominoes fall over. You don't have to go through every domino at a time.
Here's a guy who's realized he doesn't want to be like his dad.
Yes.
Because his dad's aggressive.
Yes.
That's translated into him not being able to ask for the sale because
yes,
he doesn't want to be aggressive.
Yes.
Okay, so now there's the realization. Now what?
So step two comes in. With step two, we go in there and we upgrade the beliefs. What do you want to believe instead? Well, I want to believe that I can go after the sale and I can show up assertive, not aggressive. I can still be the nice guy that I am, but I can also go out there and make it happen and get what I want. And so we had to create a new belief that served him in that way that felt good. And so that's what we did. We went through a couple of experiences that helped him to feel more secure, more confident, more at ease going after what he wants. We also changed the game. So it wasn't about him making a sale. It was about knowing that he had the best product or service, and that if he went to anybody else, they were going to get ripped off. He had an ethical obligation to make this sale happen because he knew he was going to take better care of that client than anybody else. So now it became an obligation. Now it became a mission. It was no longer about a sale. It was about service and serving people, because that's who he wanted to be. That's the kind of man he wanted to be. And so we created that new belief and he went crazy. He just started serving everybody and going so hard and leaning in. This was during the pandemic when a lot of people were pulling back and sitting on their wallets because they weren't sure what was going to happen in the world. And so a lot of business wasn't happening. So what he did was he went and he just checked in with every client he had. He was taking care of those clients. He was making sure they were okay. Some of them were really stressed or on payment plans, and he was trying to figure out how to help them, even if it hurt him, because he was about service, not just trying to make a sale. And then when the pandemic ended, because of those relationships, because of his new beliefs, everybody went to him. And in a period of 2 years, he went from struggling to sell anything to, in that 2 year period, he sold over $44 million.
So you've walked us through that, and that's profound impact. There's no doubt about that. You brought up something in there, which is a belief that feels good. So explain that term, because the danger here is in people thinking this is about positive thinking and positive thinking feels good. But positive thinking is about as useful as trying to light a match on a piece of liver. It just doesn't work. If the belief's not going to correlate,
yeah,
the positive thinking doesn't matter.
Exactly.
So explain this piece around feels good, new belief that feels good.
Yeah. Well, it comes back to love. And if you feel like love is wishy-washy and airy-fairy, then you've got some working on yourself to do.
Really?
Because
that's a clue.
Yeah, because love, and you and I are big proponents of this, self-love and loving others is the way to joy and peace. And you don't see that tactic in a lot of businesses, but the ones who really thrive, where people are happy and the cultures are strong and people are wealthy, not rich, because you can have a lot of money and still be miserable. Like that person you talked about that was the Scrooge, you can be very rich, but you are always fighting and you're always betraying and you're always trying to win at the cost of everybody else. You're always competing, not collaborating. And people might go along with you because of what you can do or because they're afraid of you, but they don't respect you and you won't be happy. And so as a result, we have to focus on love. And so when I say feel good, I mean that Joe started loving himself. He started feeling he was worthy because he had a belief that he wasn't good enough because of how his dad treated him and then how his dad left. And so he had abandonment issues and felt like he wasn't good enough for his dad to love him.
Well, let's put a pause on that again there, Tim, because again, we're now into what can be considered the woo-woo area, which is love myself. Well, I'm rubbing my nipples and I'm loving myself and it isn't working.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's a different kind of love. That's more lust, what you're describing. Yes.
So how does one love oneself when one has been given a conditioning that one is unlovable? Again, not because the parents were horrible people, they might have been, but maybe because the whole conditioning around childhood was you're not lovable unless you're winning, unless you're achieving, or maybe not even then. So
yes,
again, there's a leap here and I don't want to jump over that leap. Because that's where people are going to go, I don't know how to love myself. I've tried that. I read the personal development books. I don't know how to do that. Give us the sort of meat and potatoes, boots on the ground. What does that mean and how do I do it?
So people are doing it because they've been taught with the pop psychology crap that's out there that if you just tell yourself I'm good enough and smart enough, people will like me. And they're using affirmations and vision boards and going on retreats and jumping up and down with Tony Robbins for 4 days in a row. And meditating and doing yoga and going on silent retreats and all this stuff, which is great, but that's like throwing dirt on top of weeds. If you don't get to the root system, like what you're saying, Dove, then you're just cutting the top off the weeds or burying them. You're not getting to the root issue. And so when I talk about love or I talk about empowering yourself, this is what works. Whether you believe in it or not is irrelevant. You can believe in electricity or not, but you flip the switch, the lights come on, electricity is there. You can believe oxygen exists or not, but try taking it away and you'll become a believer. So when it comes to programming people for peak performance, self-love is a huge component of that. And if you think that it's weak, well, talk to some of the Navy SEALs guys that I'm working with. Tell them that they're weak because these guys, or some of the guys that are combat veterans, because I work with a lot of veterans. So these are trained killers. They are not weak. They are strong and powerful and brave, and they do what needs to get done. You're in a boardroom, but you don't have bullets flying over your head. These guys do. And so you would think if they have post-traumatic stress and they come to me that we'd be talking about the stuff that would happen while they were in war. And that's not what they talk about. They go back to when they were 8 years old. And I'm like, you're kidding me. Because I thought for sure it would have been these traumatic experiences. And some of them, yes, the things that they experienced. But most of it was coming back to when they were a kid and then trying to deal with how they were raised. And then also trying to deal with the fact that they felt like they had to become evil to fight evil. And now they come home after that. The military is excellent at training them what to do and terrible at untraining them afterwards. And so they come back into civilization and now they have to deal with this evil that they felt they were a part of. And they don't feel like they're worthy of being around. They don't feel like they're worthy of being loved. A lot of guys that I've worked with and women that have served have lost more friends after they got home from suicide than from active combat. And it's because people end up with these beliefs that I'm evil. I don't want anybody to know what I did. My family would look at me in a horrible way. I have to isolate myself. And so when we talk about love, we talk about forgiveness. We talk about realizing that you're enough, then you don't have to prove it. That's what achiever syndrome is. Achiever syndrome is always feeling like no matter what you've accomplished, it's never enough. You made $100 million. You have an Emmy. You have awards. You're in movies. People respect you. You have 10 cars. You have houses on different continents. And you still get imposter syndrome sometime. How can that be possible? And it goes back to achiever syndrome.
Again, I fully agree with you that love is extremely powerful. There's nothing about it weak.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think it's weak, you've probably got some really poor conditioning about love. But I'm still at the same question, Tim.
Yes.
Which is, how do we help that person who is listening, watching us, who's saying, okay, I agree. I need to love myself. I don't know how to do that. I know the affirmations don't work. I know the other stuff doesn't work. So
yeah.
Where the bloody hell do I begin? Because I don't love myself. I recognize it in myself and I recognize it has negative impact.
Yeah. All right. So the scripts are in the One Belief Away book. I literally put my scripts, the actual exercises in the book. So you can get that book today and you can read through the scripts and it will take you through it. Basically what we're doing is I'm taking them back to that moment in time where they were the most wounded, when that belief formed that they weren't good enough. And then we go back and we change it. We give them a different way of looking at it. We give them a different way of experiencing that situation. We give them new tools, new awareness, new insights. And now they're able to view that situation in a more empowered way. Because they're able to do that in a more empowered way, they're able to then upgrade the belief that goes from I'm not enough to I am enough, that goes from I'm unsafe to I am safe, that goes from I'm not worthy to I am worthy because I say so, because God loves me, because I love me. So that means therefore I am lovable. And so we create a new reference in their unconscious mind for their brain to go to. Then in session two, we do the releasing. So in the first session, we upgrade the beliefs. In the second session, we upgrade the feelings. So the guilt, the anger, the resentment, the shame, the self-pity, the self-righteous indignation, all these feelings and emotions that cause us to keep our game in play. So we go in there and we begin to release that in a very gentle, empowering way through using forgiveness, where we forgive the people that hurt us. We recognize that forgiveness is not for other people. It releases us from the poison inside. Holding a grudge is like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. It only poisons us. And these experiences that we go through are like getting bit by a rattlesnake. The bite hurts, but it's the poison that paralyzes us. And most people go through life protecting their poison. So we have to get the poison out. As we're doing that, we're building new skills, new resources. So we're teaching them how to ask different questions. We're showing them how to breathe differently. We're upgrading their beliefs. And that's really it. It's simple. It is just really easy to do, but it's very difficult to do by yourself because you can't see your own blind spots. You might have a difficult time reframing the situation on your own, which is why you need a specialist who is trained to do this, who can get into your head and help you figure this out right away. And most people just aren't specialists at this. You are, Dove, I am, but most people aren't. And so that's why they go through therapy and they go around in circles. And that's a good idea, but it's not applicable. It doesn't really work. So that's why they go in circles. So it's not some big mystery. But if you want to try to figure it out on your own, just buy the book and go through the exercises. Now you can sit down and you can ask yourself, where do I feel stuck? Or where would I like to improve more? Maybe you don't feel stuck. Maybe you just want to take it to the next level. People call me up and they're like, I'm killing it. I just want to expand myself and I've tried everything else. I haven't tried this. What do you got? I'm like, well, here's what we'll do. And so we'll just take beliefs that are already empowering. And then how can we improve it by 10%? Or I got called by the Olympic wrestling coach one time. And he's like, these guys are already world champions. If you could improve them by 0.5%, that would be significant. or business owners will call me up. They're like, you know what? 1% growth in my company is, we're talking millions and millions and millions of dollars. So if we could just improve by 1%. And so that's what we do. We take a look. So that's how we break it down.
So one of the things that's extremely common in leaders and that most people don't recognize unless they're in those positions is anxiety. There's a lot of performance anxiety going on. Mm-hmm. And that anxiety isn't limited to the results that they generate. I always tell people anxiety leaks. So it leaks into everything. It's not just in one thing. It may start off in hitting a target or whatever it might be, but it will leak into everything. And one of the things you talk about is the cure for anxiety. Talk to us a little bit about that in a very specific way, if you could.
Yeah. So what is anxiety? Anxiety is the fear that something's wrong and you're not going to be able to handle it. That's what anxiety is. Stress is something's wrong and you're going to handle it. But anxiety is like there's a fire and the fire alarm is going off inside of you, your fight or flight response, but there's no fire. At least you don't see the fire. And so if you don't see the fire and you can't put the fire out, but the fire alarm keeps going off, that can make us feel very panicky. And some people have full-blown panic attacks and they don't even know what's triggering it, which means that it could happen at any time. And now they're stressed out because what if it happens in the middle of a board meeting? What if it happens while I'm driving down the highway? And so now the fear of having that fear is another problem that they have. Now we're just afraid of being afraid because we don't know when it's going to happen. And so now we've got layers. And so that's really what anxiety is. Comes back to the same thing. All right, well, you're being triggered by something. There's something in the environment that's pushing a button inside of you. It's pushing a fear. A fear is just code for a negative belief, a self-limiting belief. We got to figure out what the belief is so that we can unlock that fire alarm. We can take the battery out so it's not going off, or we'll install a fire alarm that it only goes off when there's a problem. And then when we know there's a problem, we'll find a solution to it. So you don't have to teach high achievers how to be high achievers. You just got to find the parking brake that they are not aware of and they don't know that it's there. You and I, in a lot of ways, are like IT. We're the geek squad for their brains. They don't want to figure out the computer. They don't want to know how it all works. They just want the damn thing to work so that they can get on with what they're doing, because what they're doing is amazing. So we go in there and we sort out the software and we get rid of the malware. We get rid of the code that's not working. We install new code and then they take off.
What would you say to the leader right now who is nodding along, saying yes, and still saying, but I don't know what to do. I have this anxiety. The elephant is sitting on my chest in this moment. I'm about to go into this meeting with the board or with my executive team, and the elephant's sitting on my chest. What do I do right now?
Right now, you do this three-step process. The first thing you do, and if you're driving right now, pull over, but the first thing you do is you look up. When you physically look up towards the ceiling or look up towards the sky, it quiets the voice in your head. A lot of our anxiety comes from the story that we're narrating to ourselves all day long. And so if we're in there and we're subconsciously telling ourselves, what if this doesn't go through and they're already giving me pressure and then I didn't sleep last night and I'm going to have problems. And now we're anticipating that something bad is going to happen. So that fire alarm is being activated. So what we need to do is, if your fight or flight response, the part of you that is causing your heart to beat faster, it's speeding up your breathing or you're holding your breath, your hands are sweaty, your throat is closing, all those anxiety responses, then you got to activate your relaxation response. And the fastest way to do that is to look up and then start breathing. Because when you look up, it quiets the voice in your head. When you start breathing through your nose, down to your belly, and you slowly exhale, then it starts to calm your body. It starts to activate your relaxation response. In Special Forces, they teach 4x4 breathing. You breathe in through your nose to the count of four. You hold your breath to the count of four. You exhale to the count of four. And then you hold your breath there at the end of that to the count of four. And then you do that 5 times in a row. So breathe in, breathe out, hold your breath at the top and at the bottom. Count to four while you're doing it because it forces you to slow down. I call it power breathing. When you start power breathing and looking up, it's going to help you enter what I call a mindset reset. It's going to slow you down because when you're frantic, your energy is going out like a floodlight. And we need you to lock in like a laser beam. A laser beam is concentrated light that can burn through steel. You can burn through any obstacles, including this board meeting. But the first thing you got to do is you got to refocus your energy. So you start looking up and breathing. That will start to calm you down. Then you start asking power questions. What do I want to have happen? How do I want this to turn out? What kind of energy do I want to bring to the situation? You have no control over how they're going to treat you or what they're going to say, but you do have control over what you're going to bring to the situation. It's like playing a tennis game. You don't know how they're going to serve. You just know that you got an awesome racket and you're going to be able to return it, whatever it is. So you start focusing on what you want. When people are anxious, they're focusing on what they don't want. They're asking lousy questions. What if this goes wrong? What if this doesn't work out? What if I don't know what the answer is? What if I look stupid? What if I don't measure up? What if these guys are trying to pull one over on me? Or what if they try to screw me over, you know, or whatever it might be. You've got to make sure that you're focusing on the outcome that you want. So you ask questions to redirect your attention. Once you're breathing in this way, and then you're using power questions to refocus your mind, then the third thing you can do is you pick. You got two choices, whatever works better for you. You can imagine it going well using a little visualization, or imagine that the meeting already ended and it went better than you thought. How's that feel? So you can use visualization or feelization. So you simply imagine what you want happening. Your brain is like a GPS. Tell it where you want it to go, and then it'll take you there. The second option is you can get quiet and you can remind yourself that I am safe and I am loved and everything's going to be okay. Everything I've ever been through in life, I ended up okay. Look at where I am right now. Look at everything I have to be grateful for. I have guys that call me up and they're like, I just lost $5 million, but I still have the wisdom, but it's freaked me out a little bit and I need you to help me to get back in the game. I'm just going to go build it up. Because they knew that even if they lost the money, even if they lost their friend's money, they had the wisdom to be able to make it back. They just had to get out of their own way. And so to do that, you know, that in that particular situation, we had to help that guy remember that he's loved, that he's safe, that he has a lot to live for, that his family's not going to leave him. If his family is going to leave him because he might lose his money, he needs to start working more on his family than his business. So it gave him an opportunity to create more balance. At the end of the day, you want to be surrounded by your family who loves you and hugs you, not surrounded by bank statements. They don't hug you. So you can use that process. Breathe to slow down. Ask questions to redirect focus. Imagine desired outcomes, and then remind yourself that you are safe, you are loved, that it's going to be okay, and that even if it doesn't go well, you're still going to be okay. That will disconnect the fire alarm and then allow you to bring what you need. We're going to bring the glory. That's right. I'm working with a race car driver right now. We're bringing the glory. He got worried that too many things were out of his control, but we focused on what he could control, and that what a gift it was for him to be him doing what he's doing. And then he started bringing the glory. And now he's winning like crazy.
So this is really important for all of us to recognize, is that let's just sort of break this down for a minute, because at the base level, you, I, we, every one of us got a set of conditioning by virtue of our circumstances. You heard me talk a lot about this in the emotional source code world. It gave you how your foundation of how you see the world. You built your identity on that and built a bunch of beliefs around that. And the thing to understand is that negative rumination is also termed as depression. And what that is you're focused on the negative past, and that's where you keep ruminating on, that it's going to be like it was. And that's called depression. And negative rumination in the future is called anxiety, negatively focusing on where it's going to be, and it's not going to be what it is you want. And those things, just so you understand, happen for everybody. The only difference is how long you stay focused on any one of those things. And what Tim's really sharing with you here is interrupting that pattern with a series of breathing, which will change your autonomic system, will reset the vagus nerve and allow you to become more focused. And it will also allow the mind to calm down. When you do box breathing, as Tim just described, which the Marines do, and there's other forms of breathing that will all help you that are amazing. When you do those things, you calm the system. And it's impossible to get your mind to calm down while the system is racing. So it's really important that if you're driving into the wall at 60 miles an hour and you're saying, slow down, but you're keeping your foot on the accelerator, that doesn't work. So how do you get your foot off the accelerator? And that is the box breathing that Tim described. And at a simple level, if you have the opportunity, I would say do something simple. Get up, leave the space you're in, say you're going in to meet with the board, go to the bathroom, run the cold water, and run your wrists under the cold water. This resets the vagus nerve. It resets your system. By doing that, if you hold it under there longer than you're comfortable with it, and your whole system will begin to instantly calm down. Then walk yourself through many of the processes that Tim's given you to calm yourself, to focus your system. And I think what you said, Tim, is really important. And it's something you said in passing, but I think it's really important that we forget. Look at your life, and just for a second right now, think about all the shit that's happened. Has been a lot of shit. How about you? But I've been through a lot of shit.
Mm.
And what my mind forgets when I'm in a panic is that I'm going to survive.
Mm-hmm.
When shit goes to the wind, when the feces hits the fan, you are still going to make it.
Yes.
You're still going to be okay. That sickness you went through, that struggling business, those relationships you had that were all devastating in the moment, you now look back and they're great stories.
Mm-hmm.
So even if this goes sideways, you're going to survive. And if you're smart, you'll take wisdom from it. Because it's only a loss if you don't learn. So if you take wisdom from it, it's like, wow, okay, look at that. Wow, that was a terrible experience, but I really learned a lot. And now I can apply that to the next thing. And I think that this is the moving forward side of what Tim's talking about for you to understand. You got to go to where Tim was talking about and find out, okay, this doesn't belong in the present. It belongs in the past. And I've got some association to it. And like Tim just said, you can rewire that. And you can look at where you are in the present and say how you've overcome the things in the past and move that into the future for overcoming the anxiety that we all go through. It's just to a lesser or greater degree. Is there anything you want to add in that summary there, Tim? Because I want to make sure that it lands with what you're saying.
Oh, it was brilliant. It was brilliant. I loved it. Yeah. There's so many simple tools that you can use. I love the running the wrists under the cold water, for example, because it's something that you can do. Just getting out of the space, getting up and moving changes your physiology. Stepping out of the box is sometimes what we call it. And so just by moving your body around and changing the temperature of your body by running it under cold water, simple little techniques. When it comes to depression, it's looking at your past and feeling like, you know, it was bad, but also feeling like there's nothing you can do about it. That's really where the suffering comes in, when you feel like there's nothing you can do about it. And for the people that are listening to this show, that's miles away from who you are. Look at what you've accomplished. Look at who you are. Look at what you've done. You're extraordinary, right? And yet, even with all your accomplishment, you're also human. And so humans have the ability to grow. And these are just opportunities for you to be able to grow. This could be one of the most important conversations you'll ever hear, because you now have the ability to take it this and run with it. And it will give you greater fulfillment. When you feel more fulfilled and you're coming from a place of joy, you just naturally attract more success, more opportunities, happier relationships into your life, instead of coming from constant struggle and fight. Yeah, I think this is so important to just remember that wherever you're at in life, this too shall pass. If you just keep your eyes on the prize, be a wisdom collector and correct on the fly, and just keep gaining tools like this. If you aren't subscribed to this show, make sure you do so that you can keep getting tools regularly, because that's what's going to help you with this next level in your life. If you're already financially successful or independent, or you want to be, you're going to get the tools here. But we're also talking about this other side of life as well. And that'll make you really wealthy.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tim. It's been a pleasure and honor having you with us. I hope you'll stay with us to the end. But before we go, I want to make sure that you tell people where they can find out more about you, about your books, and about the new movie that you're in.
Yeah. So if you go to timshur.com, I have another website, indyhypnosis.com. IndyHypnosis.com is another site that a lot of people go to, where you learn how to use the power of your mind to create your life by design. The movie will be out this fall on Amazon and Apple TV. And there'll be a link in the show notes if you want some free training from me. I put all my free trainings that I've put together over the years into one place. It's called Tim's Secret Training Vault. You can click the link in the show notes. And I really recommend that if you haven't, subscribe and share this episode with someone that you love, because you never know the kind of impact it could have for them. So thanks for listening. And Dove, thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
Pleasure and honor, sir. I hope you'll stay with us to the end. Thank you. And for you, dear listener, remember, those who control the meaning for the tribe also control the movement of the tribe. Leaders who are committed to positively shaping the political and business landscape know that they must tap into what drives human behavior. I'm Dove Barron. I show businesses, teams, and leaders how to harness their emotional source code to move their tribe. Because unified, actualized meaning is the single monolithic difference between mediocrity and greatness for all individuals and companies. Remember, we need your help in staying relevant. So please go to wherever it is that you tune in from and do us a favor. Rate, review, and subscribe to the show. And of course, a big thank you to you for sharing the show with everybody you know. Till next time, stay curious, my friends. Stay curious about the beliefs you're holding that are holding you back. Maybe you're a success in one area of your life and another area of your life that's in complete conflict with that success. I want you to understand that's happening to everybody. Nobody's got it all. We're all working on it. We're all in process. Allowing yourself that humanity is a way to really genuinely understand how to love yourself, what it really means is to give yourself the space to grow, to breathe, to love, and to share. I'm Dov Barron. I'm here to assist you tapping into your deepest meaning to reach that next level of clarity, focus, purpose, and profit in your business, in your life, and your leadership impact. And I am out.